Have your Bibles this morning. The last 3 weeks, I've spoken on various characteristics of God. They're all in these two verses. Notice Psalm 145, verse number 8. The Lord is gracious. He's a God of grace. We looked at that last week. Full of compassion. We're going to look at that this week. Slow to anger and of great mercy. Notice verse 9. The Lord is good to all. We looked at His goodness the week before that. And His tender mercies over all His works. I want you to understand something this morning. That you and I serve a very special God. That He loves you. I think what's happened is that we get caught up with life. And so God is way up there and we don't think much about it. But He is in your life every day. He is watching out for you every moment of the day. How many of you heard of a helicopter parent? You know what? They're always watching their kids. Well, our Heavenly Father is not a helicopter parent, but He sees more than they do. He watches constantly. He watched you sit down this morning. He watched you stand up to sing. Now, the word compassion, Hebrew word, root, is to love. But compassion is a lot more than that. Now, our English word compassion means to feel. It's to feel empathy. If somebody hurts themselves, we feel for them. We sort of put ourselves in their place. We're tender toward them. We just feel sad for them. We feel we just feel for them. There's a certain sense of compassion that God places in all of us. Now, the farther we get away from God, the less compassionate we are. Oh, they probably deserved it. Oh, well, you know, that's not me. I don't care about it. And so we can develop the very calloused heart. Aren't you glad that God does not do that with us? That He is a God of compassion. Now, I want you to notice, if you have your Bible, turn to Genesis. He is compassionate in the fall of man. I want you to see that. Just a few little areas of His compassion. Notice, if you would, God says to man, look, you can have the whole world, but just don't eat of that one tree. That's it. And it was a test, and it was the test of man. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8, Adam and Eve had fallen into sin. They had taken of the fruit of the tree and given it to each other. And they heard the voice of the Lord, God walking in the cool of the day. Now, I love days like this because it reminds me of this passage. Days that are cool in the mornings, and you and I can walk with the Lord. Or cool in the evening, as apparently this is the cool of the day. Gives us a little picture of what it might be like in heaven. Just a little bit of coolness, but yet warmth. And so here they were. They were hiding from the Lord. They knew He was going to come about the same time of the day because they walked together. The Lord, notice if you would, verse 8, in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Now, God's compassion never lets us hide from Him. He sees us, but we separate ourselves from the fellowship of God when we do this. Verse 9, the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou, Adam? Now he knew exactly where he was. He could have given him the GPS coordinates in a heartbeat. Notice if you would. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Oh my. And he said unto him, who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I have commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man, doing the right thing, says, the woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, not eat. He blamed her. Now notice he also blamed the Lord. The woman whom thou gavest to me. So he blamed the woman and he blamed God, all the same sentence. And the Lord is slow to anger. and of great mercy. He doesn't get angry at Adam and zap him right there. And the Lord said unto the woman, what hast thou done? What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, doing the right thing, the serpent beguiled me, not to eat. It wasn't my fault. Do you notice our nature is, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's that woman you gave me. So it's your fault and hers. And what have you done, Eve? Well, it's not my fault. It's the serpent. He tricked me. We're always blaming other people. At this point in time, God could have very easily been furious with man. But I want you to notice in verse number 23, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden. He said, you have to leave the garden to till the ground from which thou hast taken. You're going to have to go work for a living now. You'll notice in verse 24, so he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, angels, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So no one else could get to that tree. He said, okay, I'm sorry, but you have to go out. Why? Because man fell into sin. Man disobeyed the Lord. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Luke, if you would. Luke, chapter number 10. And I want you to see the definition of compassion exemplified. And then we're going to come back to the Lord. Notice, if you would, verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. Verse 30, Luke 10, 30. Which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, leaving him half dead. Now that's, for our comparison's sake, that's an important statement. He's half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. God could have looked at Adam and Eve and said, okay, you blew it. I'm done with you. And walked by on the other side. So I'm never going to talk to you again. And man would have died and went to hell. Verse number 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Excuse me, verse 32. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So here this guy half dead in a ditch. One preacher looks at him and says, oh, by the way, you're in bad trouble. Keeps on going. That's no compassion. No feeling of empathy. No feeling for him. And then the next preacher, the Levite, he comes by. Same thing, only he passes on the other side. He actually has to go across the road and go by him. And he said, wow, he's in bad trouble, but I'm busy. Do you understand God could have left you and I to ourselves after the fall of man and we would not be here? Or everyone that is here dies and goes to hell with no hope. Compassion is feeling for someone, sensing their sorrow and their hurt, sensing their trouble. I always, when I am driving by, I see somebody on the far side of the road, broken down, or I see that white flag in the window, or a white cloth, something's happened, the car's empty. I just take just a second and say, Lord, would you help them? You know why? Because I hate it when that happens to me. I just wish somebody would be a blessing and help. Now, compassion is to always to be to feel what other people feel. So I can either pray for them, I can at least pray for them and ask the Lord to bless them. I can't get on the other side of the road, but I can pray for them. The car's empty. But it does touch my heart. I go to the hospitals. I don't want anybody to be in the hospital. My sweet wife was in the hospital so much. I pray for people that are in the hospital. I grieve over that. I know sometimes you like to get there and get fixed and get home and get going, but no one likes to be in the hospital. They're not standing in line to get into the hospital because they want to be there. So what is our compassion? What is compassion? Do we feel for people? Does God feel for you? Remember, you and I were half dead. It says here, if this were the case, no, we weren't half dead. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, we were completely dead and without any hope for heaven. Now notice what happens. And verse number 33, but a certain Samaritan, a certain man that's not very well looked at. He's a half Jew, half Gentile. He's not respected by the Jews at all. He's not even allowed to be in their area, go to their church. You'll notice, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, okay, everybody did that. They all kind of looked on the other side and said, oh, I see him. Now this guy, this Samaritan, who has compassion, walks over and he sees him in the ditch. Comes where he is, and then notice what happens. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now, this is the definition of compassion. And he went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set on him his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. So he takes this man to a hotel, provides for his health, gives the hotel manager the money, says, I'll come back and pay whatever he owes. Now, I want you to see what compassion is. That's compassion. It's seeing someone with a problem, caring, and trying to help. Do something about it. Now, let me back up. Adam's been kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Has no chance for heaven. But you know what God does? I didn't read it, but five verses before that passage of being kicked out of the garden, or four verses, the Lord killed animals, shed blood, and clothed them with animal skins. I'm not sure Adam and Eve understood it all at the time, but then God began to teach them. Look, you can't be saved without the shedding of blood. Someone has to die because blood is the payment for sin. And so Adam and Eve, I'm sure looking around, said, there's no one to die for us. We're the only two here. And God said, I'll sacrifice a lamb that'll die for you until the perfect lamb comes and pays your debt. Will you believe that? And Adam said, okay, I'll believe it, Lord. I believe that you're going to take care of my debt, Lord. I believe you have compassion on me. I believe you love me. And God says, I do. And I'm going to take care. I'm going to provide a solution to your fall. Now, people in this room, you might say, well, that's wonderful that God's like that, but what are you like? What am I like? Are we so busy in life that we have no compassion for people? We have no compassion for anybody but our own? Remember, this Samaritan didn't know the guy in the ditch, but he saw him as half dead. If you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Notice with me, if you would, Ephesians chapter 2. So God did not destroy man. He put him out of the garden. Notice, if you would, in verse 1, Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, God could have left us right there. There's the fall. But he had compassion on us. He had mercy on us. And God says, I'm going to help. And so he sacrifices one of the animals that he's made, sheds his blood, and covers their sin until his own son could come and pay the permanent price. Now notice, if you would, verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now work in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath. We deserve the wrath of God. But because he's compassionate, he just couldn't destroy us. He just couldn't destroy you. He just couldn't do it. But his compassion for you was what stopped him. And not only that, he said, I feel for them. but I want to help. And folks, if we're going to be in God's image, if we're going to grow in grace, we got to have the same characteristics of God. Goodness, grace, give people better than what they deserve. And when we find somebody in trouble, when we find somebody that's lost, when we find somebody that's hurting, we feel for them. We let our heart go to feel for them, and we do something about it. And so God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Son, will you go pay their debt of sin? I got to have somebody that's perfect, and you're the only one that can do it. Yes, Dad, I'll go and die. And Jesus was born in a manger, as you know, and we have the gospel story. All because of the one word, the compassion of God. Because he looked at you. Now, let me ask you this question. What does that mean is your value to the Lord? Every teenager in this room, you're of great value to God. You can't hide your head and say, well, God can use everybody else but not me. God looks at everybody in this room and says, you're worth more than the world to me. He said if a man could give the whole world, he couldn't buy his own soul. So this whole world together, put into one big pot, all the gold and the silver and the everything you can put in, all the natural resources, is not worth you. That's the value that God places on you, but he didn't have to do anything to help us. He could have just said, wow, they messed up. I'm not going to talk to them anymore. We do that to people. David did that to Michael, his wife. Well, you messed up. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And put her aside. That's our flesh. But today, I want to take just a minute and ask you, what would have happened if this gentleman here would have said, lay in the ditch, half dead. He picked him up. Now keep in mind, we are dead, completely dead. And so this guy's laying in the ditch and Jesus comes along and says, let me help you. Or this Samaritan comes along, let me help you. And he says, okay. Folks, you've got to accept the help of God. Everybody in this room, you've got to accept the forgiveness of God. You've got to come to a point in life. And this is something that just blows my mind. I do understand it, but I can't agree. I can't fully comprehend all of it. How that God could look at everybody in this room and say, I'll take you to heaven with me because I love you. I feel for you. I know you're a sinner. I know your natural inclination is to do that which is wrong. It's to lie. It's to hide yourself from me. I know that's your natural inclination, but I love you and I feel for you. And I don't want you to have to hide yourself from my presence. I want us to be able to walk together in the cool of the evening. So I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to make a way you can. What's incomprehensible to me is this: people are dead, no hope. And they say, I don't want your help. No, I'm not going to ask you to forgive me of my sin. I'm not going to ask you to give me this great gift of eternal life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's everybody in this room. You can say, I'm not going to ask. What is wrong with that person that's dead? What's wrong with the person in the hospital that's got cancer and they've got one of these days a cure that's maybe a shot like polio was? And so I'm gonna give you this shot and it'll take the cancer out of your body. No, I don't want it. What's wrong with you? We've worked for years, 40, 50 years, to try to fix this problem. We've got it now. Why don't you take it? No, I don't want it. I don't want your help. Why would a person die and go to hell? Well, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, wicked of heart. I don't want to go to heaven. I've met a few people like that, not many. I've met a lot more people that didn't understand. They didn't realize that there was a cure for sin. And it's Jesus Christ. They didn't realize it. And I've met a lot of people that no one told them. Oh, people see them. They have compassion. They're driving to church on Sunday morning. How many of you noticed on your way to church Sunday morning, the roads are empty compared to Monday? How many of you had compassion and said, Lord, I sure wish you could help me get some people to get on this road and go to church to meet with you? Compassion. Feel for people. You know what's happening? I'm riding on the way to churches. When I had the advantage of this message before you did. So I'm riding on my way to church, and I see the road is empty. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry the road's empty. I got to do more to try to get people to come to church. And I look over some people, watching them drive. And, you know, they're looking at their phones or they're drinking their Starbucks or they're, you know, just kind of talking with each other or whatever. And they're driving, not a care in the world, not realizing they could be dead. I could be like the preacher. Oh, there's a guy half dead. I'm going to church. Oh, there's another preacher driving by the other way. Oh, there's somebody half dead. Aren't you glad that our God in heaven is not like that? He says, I love you and I'm going to help. But I just want you to know he will not force it upon you. He will not reach down and pick you up and say, you're going to the hotel. I'm going to take care of you. No, you're not. You have to accept his help. This morning, if you accept the grace of God, notice if you would, Ephesians 2, look down if you would, verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not going to get the fall of man taken care of unless you accept my help. But anybody can have it, whosoever can have it. Now, God took care of the fall of man. But you know, God not only does that. If you have your Bible, turn to Philippians, just a book or two back. Ephesians, Philippians. Notice this verse, chapter 4, verse number 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not only does he say, I have compassion for you, but I want to help you with all your needs. I'll help you. But you can't run away and hide and say, I got it. I don't need your help. You got to talk to him in the cool of the evening. God is there. He's holding out his hand for all of us. Will you walk with him? Or are you consumed with this life? We carry so many burdens. The sweet hour of prayer would remove. We carry weights, but we don't get alone and walk with the Lord and say, Lord, I know you love me. I know you care for me. Will you help me? God delights in that. All of us, we get touched in different ways. I like to swim. My wife went to heaven and left me with a pool, and so I like to swim. It's good exercise, and the mutt loves to swim. I mean, I look at her. She sees me get on my swimming suit, and she's looking up, ears perk up, and she has to play ball in the pool. So I got a little ball, and so she runs to the drawer where the balls are. And I've got about 6 or 8 of them, because if she loses that ball, which she loses them all over the place, if there's not a ball in that drawer, she'll start running everywhere, looking at every place, trying to find that ball. It drives me crazy. Actually, it bothers my heart when she's looking so hard. So I do have compassion, okay? So I go out there, and I get in the pool, and that dog will play and jump in the pool, but every once in a while, you take the, and my wife had some mats, you know, some that you lay on. And so she loves to get on that mat and let you throw the ball. And she goes running because she likes to be in the water, but not in the water. So she's floating on the mat. And then you throw the ball and she'll go running over the pool side out in the yard, pick up that ball, come running back in it and drop it right back in the pool. And so if you take that ball, and you throw it in the pool, she'll look at it. And she'll dive in and go get that ball. Well, she can't get it. It's a little bigger in her mouth, so she'll bite at it, and it'll bounce out. She'll bite at it again. So she'll take it all over the pool. She'll keep going trying to find that ball, trying to get it. It's kind of fun to watch, you know, until I see her. She's trying to get that ball. And I'm laughing and having a good time. And then all of a sudden, she says, I gotta get some help. I'm too tired. So she would turn and go back toward the mat. Well, if you don't push the mat down, she can't sometimes get on it when she's tired. Now, that's when compassion hits my heart. She gets there and she gets both feet on it and tries but can't get up. And she tries and she just struggles. You can see her getting up. It's so easy for me to reach over and 4 pounds, 4.5, 5 pounds, reach over and just flip her up on the mat. And she turns right around and says, "Where's that ball?" Like, "I thought you were tired and drowning." And she's ready to go again. You know, that's us. I mean, I'm in need. I'm in trouble. Lord, I need your help. I need your help. And so he goes, "Okay, I'll help you. Get up." "Where's that thing I wanted to go do?" And we're not worried about church anymore. We're not worried about the Lord anymore. We got other things to take our mind off of things. We don't need the Lord, but the Lord's compassion says, "I'll help." You and I have no idea how many times God has reached down and said, "Here," and flipped us up on the mat to keep us from drowning. And yet God says, "I'll provide your needs. I'll provide all that you need." Notice his words. He says, "Oh, the needs that you have." We have so many things that are wants that we flip over into needs. God doesn't say that. He said, "I'll provide your needs according to my riches." In other words, there's never been a time when you had a need that was too big, ever. His compassion takes care of us. It provides the supply that we need. Today, he saves us. He gives us the supply we need. He's given us the solution to our sin. And, you know, lastly, he's wondering if you're willing to serve at all. If you're willing to have compassion. Now, remember, compassion is not just feeling for somebody. It's doing something. So here, this Samaritan says, "Okay, I see you. Oh, my goodness." And he goes over where he was. Notice what Jesus did. Turn your Bible, take you to Matthew chapter 9. Notice Matthew chapter 9. I want you to see this verse. Matthew chapter 9. It's always been that Jesus had compassion on us. Look here. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse number 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And healing, notice it, every sickness and every disease among the people. He's got compassion. He's trying to get their attention to trust him as their Savior. He's trying to do everything he can, so he's healing everybody that comes to him. He turns no one away. In verse 36, and when he saw the multitudes, people were coming. Multitudes. We were in Africa years ago. And we were doing a medical trip. And I'll never forget having 500 or 600 people in the church looking down the road, and there were hundreds and hundreds more coming. And after 1,000, we had to stop and say, "Wait a minute, that's enough." And I had to look at people and say, "You got to go home." And they said, "But we need help." Most difficult thing ever had. My heart. And went to another site, and 3,000 showed up. And I had to look at them and say, "We don't know what to do." And so they called out the government troops, and they said, "You got to go." And people said, but, "No, we don't have room for you." God didn't say that to us, and we shouldn't say that to others. We should want to help. Now watch this. And when he saw the multitudes, he said, "Wow, there's a lot of people in trouble. God bless them." He was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And he saith unto them, "The disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore." Let's do something about it. Let's pray for more laborers. Folks, everybody in this room can do that. Everybody can pray for more people that want to serve. That's what Sign Up Saturday is all about. It's for you to get involved in some way. It's for you to have compassion for people. But not just, "Oh, I feel for you," but it's to do something. To do something that's eternal. If a cold cup of water given in Jesus' name does not lose its reward, what do you think it is when you sit down and witness to somebody? What do you think it means when you sit down and pray for somebody that's lost? Folks, the least we can do is pray. We can call upon our God for people that are in help, but we're too busy. We've got our own lives to live. We're like the priest and the Levite. We say, yeah, they're in trouble, and we walk right on. One of these days when we stand before God in heaven and look over into hell and see the billions in hell, we're going to say, I could have done something about a few of those. But my compassion stopped at feelings. Will you do something this morning? Everybody here, but Pastor, I got a job. Who gave you that job? Who gave you the physical ability to get that job? What store, Home Depot, did you go to get your brain? Or your physical body? What emergency room did you go in and say, I need a better body than this. I need one like Atlas. Would you give me a better body? And so I go in there, I get a body, come back out and say, yeah, I got a new body now. I can do stuff for the Lord. You know, I can do stuff for me now. That's what we're doing. Everybody in this room, everything that you have has been given by God. Take your Bible and turn to James. We'll close. James chapter 1. Notice, if you would, verse 16. James 1:16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not err, Christians. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, because of his compassion for you. Now, everybody in this room, if you can go to college, if you've been to college, if you have dreams of college, that's God's compassion to you. If you can work, that's God's compassion to you. There's a lot of people can't. If you can think clearly and remember things from yesterday, that's a gift. Are you willing to use the gift God has given to you for the compassion of others? Folks, today, I cannot point out to you the Holy Spirit, what he can do in your heart. Who is it you're having compassion on? Is it just the people in the walls of your house? Or do you notice your neighbor? Or do you notice people at work? Or do you just driving by and the Lord touches your heart? Folks, we need tender hearts today. Everybody in this room, you need the compassion of God. Do you see the compassion of God? Adam and Eve, where are you? Oh, we're naked, Lord. Who told you that? Look, you're going to have to get out of the garden, but I'm going to provide a way of salvation. I want you to walk with me. I love you too much. I will provide. And now all of us in this room that are saved, you're beneficiaries of that compassion, of the grace of God. Today, give it back. Give it to somebody else. Don't be selfish. Let's go to the God of heaven that says, Lord, I love you. I'm full of compassion. I'm full of compassion and mercy, and I'll be good to you. The Lord is good to all. Are we good to all back? Folks, today, you have a choice today. Let's be like the Lord. Let's have compassion. But most of all, I'm reminded in Luke 17, you don't have to turn there, 10 people had cancer. Lord, have, they said, mercy on us, compassion on us. He said, okay, I will. Go show yourself to the priest. So they were going. They were healed, every one of them. Did you know 9 of those guys kept running and only one turned back and said, you've changed my whole life. Thank you. When's the last time you told thank you to the Lord for his compassion to you? You live in the greatest country on earth. You have a copy of God's word. When's the last time we were thankful? Thankful enough to be compassionate. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. I'll ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I need compassion of God in my life. It's not something that I have just regularly. It's only every once in a while. Only by God's grace would even we even be existence today. Do you realize all that you have by the gift of hand of God? Why don't you come to this altar and say, Lord, thank you. Everyone can do that. Are you really thankful for the goodness of God to you? Look at all the gifts you've got. Count your many blessings. And so, Lord, thank you for your compassion. Part of praising the Lord is thanking him for his compassion. Lord, I want to praise you for what you've done for me. We're going to have a word of prayer. Stand to sing. If you need to come this morning, thank the Lord for his compassion to you. Promise the Lord you're going to give it to someone else. Let's ask the Lord to open our eyes that we can have compassion. Lord Jesus, will you speak to our hearts today? Help me to have more compassion towards sinners. Lord, more compassion towards saints that are in trouble. Lord, give us eyes like the Samaritan and the will to provide a solution like you. In your name we pray. Amen.